Good vibrations, take one.
We're rolling, let's go!
Let me hear the organ. Another stop, please. Perfect, okay, we'll go with that. Let's go again, please. Now, let me just hear Billy play what he's doing in B. Okay, forget it. Play chords. Can you play chords? Okay, that's fine. Let's make it. Take one. Yeah. Here we go.
Welcome back to the New Talk. This is the Bob Davis Podcast, Podcast 443. Now, I've already gotten some emails tonight. This is the night of the president's speech, and emails that say, we need to have an answer to the president's speech. First of all, I've been talking about this terror issue, and in particular, the reaction of the president and the media to the terror issue for the last three or four podcasts, and I am not going to do this in this podcast. What I'm going to do in this podcast is, my friend Mitch Rosso is here, and Mitch has developed a pretty extensive and super cool means of helping people get involved as precinct leaders in their individual precincts. Oddly enough, no one in the Republican Party seems to be doing this. And this speaks to this issue that I have had for a long time, which is that if you expect it to change, you can get angry about President Obama all day long, and it's going to do you no good. It's going to take organization to actually provoke political change and then to keep these people doing what you expect them to do. So we're going to tell you how to do it. We're going to give you a specific step-by-step sort of tutorial on how to organize your precinct in podcast 443. Well, there's no question that we are enjoying just fabulous weather in the upper Midwest and in Minneapolis and St. Paul. I mean, this has just been amazing. I feel like I live in... you know, I feel like it's January in Alabama, but it's really just November or December in Minneapolis and St. Paul. But here's the deal. I had this feeling tonight. I went to Byerly's to buy some chicken, and I was coming out, and I said to myself, we are going to pay for this. Right? We are going to pay for this big time.
Oh, ye of little
somehow. Faith. So guess what? There is a thing called climate change. We have severe climate change here in Minnesota, and it's happening. It's just happening very slowly. And when it does happen, we're going to pay. That is why I want to tell you that when you have a plumbing, heating, or water heater problem in the winter, you're going to remember Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul for emergency service. And the reason is they do great emergency service. They're metro-wide from St. Paul. In St. Paul, you can call 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Ryan Plumbing and Heating has been doing quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems for four generations, residential and business. So if you have a business, you know, Greg was telling us a story about a guy. Mitch and I had dinner with Greg last night, and he was telling us a story about a guy that has a ridiculous problem that he's trying to deal with. But it isn't just your home. It can be your business as well. Don't forget Ryan Plumbing and Heating for emergency service on University Avenue in St. Paul, just west of the state capitol, where they've always been metro-wide. So the trucks go all over the place. Inver Grove, St. Paul, Minneapolis, Plymouth, you know, North Metro, South Metro, they're all over town. Once again, 651-224-4771, and in Minneapolis, call 612-927-6488. They have a new website.
Yeah, I was going to say, Bob, don't forget to mention.
They have a new website, and I'm going to issue my first ever Bob Davis Podcast Webby Award to Mitch Rosso, for doing the...
Ryan Plumbing...
website.
Yep, ryanplumbing.com.
ryanplumbing.com. And here's the award.
What? There's an actual award?
Yeah, I'm going to give you an actual award. It's a little magnet from Cloud, the Cloud Lifter, that I'm going to give to you. There you go. There's your little.
Wow.
There's
your little. My head.
So, you know Mitch Rosso as the what do we call you? The webmaster?
I
know
hate
you hate that.
Term.
The webmaster for the BobDavisPodcast.com. And I'm very thankful that I ran across Mitch through Facebook, right?
Correct. You were listing out a few problems you're having with your preceding website. And when I read your questions, I thought, wow, the way he's asking it, he is never going to figure
this
it out.
This guy is never.
Because you're like, well, because of this, then that. And I'm like, no.
No.
That's never, You're looking down the wrong street for this answer.
Yeah, and we don't need to go on about it. But that was actually, you're instrumental in creating the BobDavisPodcasts.com, because without it, without you, I don't know what I would have done.
You were full of ambition.
I was.
And ready to go.
And I did the work.
Yeah. And it was, but what I was going with is that at that moment, the iron was hot, you were ready to strike. And I feel blessed that I was able to come in there, get your website going so that you could not get frustrated. You could move right in.
And here's the cool thing. We did it in, you know, I think I got fired on a Friday or something, and it was up and running on Tuesday. That's how fast it happened. It took like 3 days.
Yeah, I think I saw the email on a Friday afternoon.
Right. So, I think I posted on Facebook. I'm stuck, you know, whatever, because I came home. And in all the previous times when I'd gotten fired, I came home and it was pizza, you know, unemployment, pizza and coffee and movies till dawn and just, you know, whatever. And I came home and went right to work on this. And so you were instrumental in getting it up and running and turning it around so that within a very short period of time, I was off and running doing this, selling advertising and building this crazy thing. So all of this year, I have been talking, and really for the last 2 years, I've been complaining and talking about how, this is really pretty much directed at Republicans, because I'll tell you why. Democrats know this. Anybody who's a Democrat already knows this stuff. This is nothing new. But Republicans are terrible at organizing, and almost every major candidate admits it. And I will, you won't, because of your position as a BPOU chair and officer of CD5, right?
Correct. Secretary of CD5.
I will have to say this, you won't, but the state party is really, whoa. They are I'm not going to say incompetent, because that's nasty.
Well, they've had a lot of challenges. Yeah. Getting out of debt should be their number one issue. And that's what they've been working on.
They've been working. And you know what? And here we go again. Yeah. And you don't have to say anything, because I'm going to say it. You know, it's like, we're really working hard. It's really hard. We're working. It's just really hard. And it's like, you know what? Yeah, it's hard. Fix it. And so,
you know, it's also hard running your own business.
They're doing what they're doing. And I'm not giving them. It's just like Keith Downey runs around and says, you know, we had a really tough year. We were able to, you know, win 7 seats in the House. And it was really hard. And just, you know, we worked really hard. If you look at this map, and you can see the vote totals, and we just have really improved. And it's like, so yeah, in a year in which Republicans historically swept all the elections, Minnesota is the only state that did not put any statewide offices in place. We lost the governor and we lost the Senate, and we're lucky we had at least one congressional victory, right? Well, we had two, three.
And all the stories I could tell you about last year, but I won't.
No, you won't.
Because it's not just you and I.
And these are my comments and not Mitch's. And all I'm saying is,
I want to point that out, that any commentary really about our dear leader, those are Bob's comments about our
and
dear
you know,
leader, not mine.
They're really nice guys. It's not that they're not nice
they're
guys.
They're trying.
It's just that they're really trying, and they want credit for trying. And I'm just not. I have a higher standard. Win. And then I will give you your accolades. Win. You know?
What's the first rule in politics?
Winning.
Correct.
So what we're going to do is help people who go to the meetings and complain and believe that really what they're doing at the meeting, their main focus at being at the meeting, is to come up with the argument that will be the silver bullet argument they can use against their weird, bald-headed neighbor who comes over and says all this stuff about Republicans. And that's really what they seem to want. But you see, that is not going to provoke political change. The only thing that's going to that provokes political change is organization to deliver votes and money. So we're going to tell, and I hear a lot of people talking about political organization. I hear a lot of people talking about, and I don't want to oversell this, but I hear a lot of people talking about how the political system works and everything else. I believe, and maybe it's because I was brought up in Chicago and this is the way it always was there, but I think this is true. We have an open political system in the state of Minnesota, and I believe that all politics really, at least at the state level and really at the national level too, but let's just keep it at the state level, starts at the precinct level. So if you have an effective precinct organization you can both say who gets elected from your area, and you can really put a lot of pressure on the people you've elected to office, whether it's the state house or the governorship or the U.S. Congress, because you've got the organization to be able to do that. And it starts at the precinct level, right?
Correct. And actually, a lot of this is developed from listening to you and the discussions you have with people and seeing what their issues are. The long time ago, you said this, that calling your congressman or whoever, you're just annoying the intern that answers the phone.
Yeah.
If you want to have political power, you have to have the votes.
Right.
And you have to have the people.
Right.
If I say, oh, yeah, well, if my demands aren't met, or if you don't do what I'm asking you to do, I'm going to show up at your office with 300 people, and I show up at your door with 300 people, you're actually going to take my calls.
Right.
And that's political organizing.
Because they know that you, and this is the thing that's missing from quote-unquote conservative politics. You end up with the same six people doing all the work day in and day out. And to the extent that you guys at some place, some BPOUs have had to appoint precinct captains or precinct chairs because there aren't any. Because people won't. I mean, it's what I'm saying is, it doesn't matter who your candidate is. It's wide open for people to organize.
It's the opportunities for organizing are incredible. It's sort of like, you know, opportunities for rapid advancement means it's a terrible place to work.
Yeah.
But okay. Yeah. So what I've been working on for the past couple of years, actually, because when I got involved at caucus, we were all working on electing delegates to move up the constitution or the convention ladders. But there was this precinct officer or precinct chair we had to elect first off at caucus. And then nothing ever happened with that. That was actually the first office I had.
I actually have to rewind.
Okay.
And that is, we have to start with, what is a caucus? What do you do with the caucus? And then we'll get into the, I mean, this is the way it
right.
is. People
this
don't
is...
even know what the caucus is.
Okay.
Who was at a meeting recently? And they said, okay, who here watches Fox News? Everybody raised their hand. Who here is a precinct chair? Or who went to the last caucus? Three mm-hmm. people raised their hand. That's the problem.
No one knows what it... I mean, caucus is an unusual thing. Other states that have primaries, there's a primary election and a general election. And with the primary, you have to register. And in Minnesota, we don't have to register for our primaries when we do have primary. I mean, we do have a primary, but we don't have to register that. So the only way that we can find out who Republicans and Democrats are is who shows up at caucus. There is no... Like people say, oh, well, just, you know, send out a letter to all the Republicans. We don't know who the half of them are. Half of the people in my district are unidentified. We have no way of doing it. Well, there are ways, but it requires time and energy and effort. And
people have to get involved and volunteer to help. And
right.
this is where we get into this. The basic political organization is based on the precinct.
Correct. And that's when you go to a caucus, which, by the way, is March 1st next year. They moved it from February to March. I won't get into why. We can do another show on that. But
one word, Iowa.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So March
1st. The land of the foolish drivers.
On caucus night, everybody that gets together in one room are from the same precinct. A precinct is a very small piece of land. It's the geography of the political landscape. I mean, politics is about maps. So your precinct depends on the density of your neighborhood, if it's single family homes or apartment buildings. But in my area, it's like 20 blocks in uptown. Out further out in the suburbs, it's a larger piece of land. But it's basically 2,500 people of voting age make up a precinct. And you also all share the same polling location. So that's your precinct.
So when you go to caucus, the first thing that you're going to do is elect a precinct chair.
You're going to elect a precinct chair, correct. And you can also elect a precinct secretary, not a treasurer. Precincts aren't allowed to actually...
Raise money.
They can raise money. They just can't hold it. So if you wanted to actually do fundraising in your precinct, which is an awesome idea, not because you raise money, but they used to have a program, which is called Neighbor to Neighbor in the Republican Party, where you just ask your neighbor for $5 or $2.
That happens a lot in uptown.
Well, yeah, right? Hey, dude.
Hey, I'm a welder and I'm from North Dakota, except I'm wearing a Minnesota hat and my car's parked on Dale Street.
And you can't remember that word. Oh yeah. Rebar. So, The thing with getting donations and contributions, like even just $2, is that if I say, hey, Bob, would you give $2 to the Republican Party? And you're like, okay, you've actually got money in the game now. So you're going to pay attention. Right. And you're more likely to vote.
And just so people know, and I want to do this before, you know, we get too far into the podcast. The idea here is that in the Republican Party, generally, the turnout by precinct isn't very good. And the ability to identify Republicans by precinct isn't very good because the organization of the party doesn't extend to that level.
It's, well, actually, a few of the things you mentioned, like the state party not doing this well. We just had State Central yesterday, and one of the things that they introduced, they actually introduced a couple of programs, but they are about precinct building, and they are serious about that at the state party level. Problem is they've had so many other things, they've got to get their house in order first. Now they're actually showing some interest in this. And because we were talking about this so long ago, and I saw this huge gap that precinct organizing isn't happening.
Right.
That everything has been focused about controlling the party, not about winning elections.
Right.
And that's, to me, if you're concerned about getting to be a delegate and getting up through the convention system, then you're all about changing the party, not about winning. If you actually want to win elections, which is where the power comes from, it's about precinct organizing.
Now, you guys have heard me talking about xgovernmentcars.com for a long time. I want to talk about how X-Government Trucks has now opened in Forest Lake. XGovernmentTrucks.com is now open at 356 19th Street in Forest Lake, or you can call 763-777-8782. The new X-Government Truck Mega Truck Center features dozens of the best brands. They've got Ford trucks, Chevy trucks, Dodge, Toyotas, and more. X-Government Trucks also has lenders for everybody at all credit levels, which makes it so great if you're in business, you're looking for a work truck or a plow. They can get you approved fast. You find your vehicle, then you apply online for fast pre-approval so you can go down there in Forest Lake, snake through the lot, pick out the truck, and you're good to go. X-Government Trucks also has the 3-day peace of mind guarantee so you buy with confidence, and as always, they love taking trades. Highest values are paid every day without all the bull. Get out to xgovernmenttrucks.com. Beat cheeks. Get your butt down to X-Government Trucks in Forest Lake, 356 19th Street, Forest Lake. Are you ready for the bullhorn?
Hit me.
XGovernmentTrucks.com.
Okay, we were talking about precinct organizing. This is the place, this is the basic building block that we have to work with. So continue.
Right. So where this conversation is coming from is that I've been working for the past couple of years on this information and how to do this. And I actually conducted the first class for practice. Actually, I mean, we had 25 people there, but it was my first run with the new material, and I really like it. And my goal is to, now if I say this now, I'm really committing myself, but I want to be teaching this class starting really soon and continuing through the year, next year, showing people how to organize.
And where would you teach, who would you teach this class to?
Well, I'm looking at locations. I may use a couple of community rooms. I've been thinking about the last
community room. But who would be
the audience would be people that either want to be precinct officers or are elected precinct officers. If you go to your caucus and get elected precinct officer, a precinct chair. Now, I use the term precinct officer because that includes the other positions like secretary and...
Which usually they don't fill, but...
Right. They're usually not filled, but you can have a chair and a deputy chair and stuff like that. And a chair of a precinct can create precinct captains.
And the key here is that if the Republicans could generate 10 to 20% more turnout, especially in the 5th District, let's say, which is Keith Ellison's district. You know, I don't think there's any illusions about enough Republicans in the 5th District to unseat Keith Ellison. But usually Republican candidates in the 5th District do anywhere between 20 and 30. Maybe they get to 40% of the vote, right?
In certain areas. In the past, if a congressional candidate could beat 25%, Chris Fields set it at, I think, 24.3% of the vote. But no one has broken 25.
Okay, so if you could increase Republican turnout by 25 or 30% in enough precincts, it's conceivable that you could have a candidate that could hit 34 or 35 or 36% of the vote, which is competitive, number one. So then they have to spend money on those races. Secondly, that's going to increase turnout for statewide races.
Because that's the thing is that the chances of us beating Keith flat out are really tough. I mean, that's 25 to 75. That's a really long way to catch up. However,
it's partially a candidate issue, but that's not the story.
But in CD5, we have a lot of Republicans that aren't even aware there's a Republican Party. They're like, why even bother? I mean, they're so beaten down. It's ridiculous. So the Democrats have done a fantastic job of suppressing Republican turnout in the cities. Well, I mean, seriously, why would you even bother? If you just heard that number that we get 25% of the vote, why would you show up? Well, if we can get those people to come to the polls, we lose, like you said, that we lost in this big Republican wave in 2014. We didn't win any statewide offices. We lost the governorship again, and we didn't win the Senate. Well, it was by a small margin, and we could find that margin in CD5.
And the idea here is to build the vote in almost as a platform, and that makes it easier to find better candidates because there's a chance that they can win, and it also makes it easier for the candidates to at least be competitive in statewide races in a state that is quote-unquote blue. Now, I hate blue and red because it makes it sound like a state is all one thing or all not. Virginia is a great example. Mm-hmm. Virginia was a Republican state and a bellwether Republican state for a long time, and it is now a competitive state for Democrats. So what that means did Virginia suddenly flip and become a Democrat state? No, it's just that they got better at registering Democrats and getting the Democrat vote out in Virginia, in particular Northern Virginia, where people are either independents or they sit on either side of the fence. Minnesota is the same thing. It's just that Minnesota has traditionally been a very Democrat state, but that doesn't mean that we haven't had Republican governors, and it doesn't mean that Republican conservatives can't win statewide office and win state representative races.
We've had Republican senators and governors.
So
statewide.
And I'm going to push you now. So what I want to do now is just have you go through your list of what you will learn and why it's important. And we need to move fairly quickly so that we don't.
Right. Time's moving.
Right.
So you could actually double the Republican turnout in any precinct.
Wow.
The way you do that, I'll even show you how to do it.
Okay.
You need a team of roughly 8 people in your precinct. So you're going to go to caucus and there'll be, since it's a presidential year, you'll probably have 20 or 30 people show up there, maybe even more.
From your precinct.
Right, from your precinct. In your caucus, which is your precinct. The caucus is the same as a precinct.
So everybody sits at a table, and you're from precinct 10-1, you sit at a table with people, your neighbors, basically.
Yeah.
And you'll see your neighbors there that you never see anywhere else. They'll be there, unless
and
they're
Democrats.
And
you're all outing yourself.
And they'll
like
be on the other side. And there's no, it's standing room only in the Democrat room. But in the Republican room.
Oh, I wish I could actually go.
You could throw a bomb in there and you wouldn't hit anyone.
Yeah. I wish I could go to the Democrat ones and watch it because they are hilarious. The resolutions they pass make you cry.
Well,
but
some of the resolutions Republicans pass are pretty hilarious, too.
Oh yeah. But anyway, but at least they're somewhat reality.
But I mean, the cool thing is our process in Minnesota allows for this. And that's what's great about it, is that you can get involved and you can pass resolutions and all these things. If you don't go to the caucus, I don't even want to talk to you.
So, yeah, like, you can't complain if you don't vote. Well, voting is the baseline. Going to caucus is the next step up. Now, if you actually want to do something about winning, then you get involved in the precinct.
Okay, so you can increase.
How do we double the Republican turnout in your precinct?
Yeah.
So you go to your caucus and there's 25, 30 people there in a decent one. Some of them are pretty small, but on a presidential year, there's a good turnout.
Okay.
If you decide to become precinct chair and you get up and make a passionate argument, no one wants to do this. So you get up and say, I want to be the guy. And no one really knows what a precinct chair is, so not many people are going to fight you for it. If someone does, great. Whoever wins the precinct chair, get that job, and now here's what you have to do as precinct chair.
And what he's saying is it's easy to become the precinct chair or the precinct secretary if there's already a precinct chair.
You can
be the secretary,
chair.
And then you're going to have to do the work. But you're saying it's going to be clear sailing at that point.
It's going to be clear sailing. Now, if you would like to improve the turnout at caucus, you could actually become a precinct chair today. You have to find your BPOU chair and say, I want to be a precinct chair. I heard what Mitch was doing and I want to do this. And they can actually appoint you to it if someone's not doing the job already. And odds are really good. Really good.
You got it.
That they haven't heard from.
So you don't have to wait for caucus. You go to your BPOU meeting. It's probably a good idea to go to the meeting.
Go to it anyhow.
Meet everyone.
They'd be happy to have you there.
Eat some cookies and walk up at the end of the chair and say, hey, or get up and ask during the meeting, I'd like to be a precinct chair. They can appoint you right there,
yes.
Right?
Okay. The exec committee can do that. So anyhow, we'll go back to actually caucus day. And there's this huge crowd there. Well, we have to get everybody's name and phone number and email address at the caucus. So as the precinct chair, you get a copy of that. And so, okay, Bob, you're the new precinct chair for your precinct. So you stay on the case of the secretary of your BPOU and you get a copy of the list of everybody that came to caucus. So now you call them all and say, hey, I'm the precinct chair. I want to just, you know, we met March 1st. I just want to reach out and say hello.
This is how you find the 8 volunteers.
This is what you're working for your 8 volunteers.
And what do you do with the 8 volunteers?
Now you could get all those, but okay, say now you've got 8 volunteers. The next step would be getting access to Data Center. Data Center is the Republican Party's new information management system, contact database. And they've been reworking it. And we actually had some guests from Washington, woohoo, came to our state secretary.
I was boo-hooing it, and you said, no, it's actually pretty good.
It was. Now, anything political is going to be woohoo and, oh my God, really? So we started with over an hour of, oh my God, really? And actually, the people from the RNC that came to talk about all these really cool things that they're going to do were all like, please, let me get up and talk because my plane leaves. And so, seriously, we had the two people that I really wanted to hear from that were like, this is why I went there. They were like talking as fast as they possibly could because they had to catch an airplane.
Here's my question. Does it work?
Yes, okay. It does.
And what does it do?
Data Center allows you to look people up. And so you could type in someone's name and you can find out all their information and check out their voting history. But more than that, you can run reports. You can say, give me a list of all the people that are identified as Republicans.
On Bob Street.
On Bob Street or in my precinct. You can do walking maps. And just, it's really great information.
Then this is what you do with the 8 people. So the next step is what?
You have the 8 people. And there's 2 pieces of information you need. You need to know who the Republicans are in your district. And you need to know how often they vote. How often everybody votes is public record. And we have that. The Data Center has that.
Okay.
The problem is identifying the Republicans. And there are ways to do that. And I can teach you that.
Okay.
If you come to the class, I'll skip over that. So now that you know who the Republicans are and you know how often everybody votes, you can sort them into 4. There's a simple metric where they look at the last 4 elections, general elections, and see how often people voted in those. So if I voted in 4 of the last 4 general elections, I'm a 4 of 4.
Right. We don't want to talk to you.
And you actually don't want to talk to those people because you may
just piss them off. Right.
So don't call them.
And the reason we say that is there's an actual experience with that where a certain senatorial candidate tried to run everything from and said, we need to call everybody who voted. And the people who voted all the time and kept getting the robocalls finally got pissed off. And a lot of them stayed home.
Yeah. They actually suppressed the turnout of the guaranteed. So there is no such thing as a guarantee. In fact, you can destroy your guarantee.
Yeah. However, so we're going to talk to the people that never get talked to.
We look for, not that don't get talked to, but you can actually do something good by talking to them. Like the people that vote all the time, they vote all the time. Leave them alone. The people that have only voted once or twice in the last 4 elections, those people are, we have different terms for them, lazy voters, lazy Republicans, the disenfranchised. But you can, if you know the Republican and you know they'll vote your way, if you get them to go vote, they're going to increase the Republican turnout. Now, in Minnesota, most likely, half of the voters in that area are in that category. They don't vote every time.
Is this statewide, or is it just in CD5?
Pretty much statewide.
So listen, this is very important, because what he's saying is that 50% of the available voter base for Republicans doesn't vote.
And this is the case with both sides. This isn't a thing about Republicans.
Right, but this is what I'm saying, that it's the Democrats are way ahead at getting those people out to vote. So if you want to win statewide races, if you want to ensure that your congressman wins, if you want to ensure that the guy that you've run to defeat your congressman wins, just think of how amazing it would be if you were one of those groups that said, we don't like Congressman blah, 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 and we don't like what he did, and so we're going to show him. And you find some guy, and you run him, and you destroy Congressman whatever because he didn't pay attention to you. And if you think that can't happen, take a look at Virginia, where Eric Cantor was blown out of office by, what's his name?
Bratt?
Yeah, David Bratt.
And he spent a tiny fraction. Right. Now, one of the big things about David Bratt is he used a system called Our Voter. Our Voter, like the letter R, right, like Republican. Our Voter is a private system created by the guy that created VAN, the Democrats' contact management system.
Right.
Now, Democrats are awesome with their data. And Organizing for America, Obama's data gathering and organizing system, they're why he won.
Well, I love the story about that, because rather than just go use the Republican system, he just went and got the Democrat system because he knew it would work. I mean, well, it's just the common sense. By the way, it costs $100,000 to build the database
for one state.
But he did it. And you know.
And I've actually spoken with him, and my friend Sheila has spoken with him. I think his name's Steve. We talked to him. That's when we found out the price. Steve had only, he had built that one for Brat. And it was Steve, the guy that wrote Van. I can't remember. I may be getting
his name
wrong.
It doesn't matter.
The guy that built Van built Our Voter. He built Van. He was a really great database guy. He didn't really care about politics. After he finished it and he saw it was being used, he's like, oh my God, what have I done? And so he created his own for the Republicans because he actually tended that direction politically.
Okay. So you got these eight people from your precinct.
Right.
And now you've identified the Republicans who haven't voted in the last two or three elections. What's so special about this now? What happens from here?
A lot of people say, oh, you got to get the right message. You got to get the right candidate. You got to go and talk to these groups and blah, 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 blah. That doesn't matter. That's icing on the cake. That's noise. That's distraction. That's not where winning happens. It's like, if you're at war and you have control of the airspace, but you don't have an infantry, you're going to lose.
Right.
So the artillery helps. But up here, it's like fighting Okinawa. They're just digging in and they're ignoring you because people tune out all the negative ads and all that. And negative ads, yeah, they may or win.
I think you're addressing is the whenever you go to these meetings, these people want to get up and they will talk about messaging as though we are sitting up here high in the clouds in our 50th floor office and we're discussing messaging for the Republican Party and this is what they need
that
to
doesn't
do.
Matter.
You know what? You need to sit down and shut up. And we're going to tell you what to do. Because that's what happens with the Democrats. When Joe gets up in the Democratic Party and starts in with that stuff, and they say, put your UN book away and sit the hell down and shut up because we're going to tell you what to do. And if you don't want to do it, leave.
And they give him a sheet of names.
That's right.
Now, here's what you do with your team. So if you can identify people's, identify their voting persuasion, Republican or Democrat, and you know how often people vote. Okay. Blah, blah, blah. I've said that three times. Okay. Now, in your precinct, like I said, a precinct is 2,500 people. The turnout for an election can be between 500 and 1,000, sometimes more here.
So the winning margin in a precinct can be 1,000 votes.
Well, no.
Maybe.
That's the number of voters. A really good turnout is 1,000 people out of 2,500. Sometimes now you'll hear.
So if you this is the key, and I'm pushing because there's always a time issue.
I know. I want to get to the end.
What you're saying is that if you have 10 precincts and you have 2,500 voters in each precinct, and you have 10 really good precinct captains, or I call them captains because that's a Chicago thing, or precinct chairs who get the people out. They get their eight volunteers in each precinct. They get the people out, and they achieve a 25 to 40% increase in turnout in 10 precincts. That's now 10,000 people. It's now, right?
Right. And what's his name? Stuart Smalley won by 537 votes. You can find 537 votes.
And it was Hennepin County. Right? Or Ramsey County. So what you hear regularly is, I live in Ramsey County, or I live in Hennepin County. I live in the 4th precinct, or the 4th district, or I live in the 5th district. We'll never win a race. But what you're saying is, it can be the difference in a statewide race between a recount, right?
Yeah.
Such as we had with Dayton and Emmer, or could have. We had a very close election. And the biggest problem is that Republicans can't overwhelm St. Louis County, Hennepin County, and Ramsey County. But they don't necessarily have to if you can increase the vote totals in those precincts.
And now increasing the turnout out in like CD6, which is Emmer's district, and they always get really good turnout. Increasing the percentage of Republicans is tough because they're already getting a lot of Republicans.
Right.
But in the Twin Cities, the Republicans are not only a small percentage of, seemingly a small percentage of the voting public, they're also, they're repressed. I mean, suppressed.
Right.
They don't want to vote.
But where it counts is in the statewide totals,
right,
especially in the 2nd District and the 3rd District and the 8th District and the... Well, I guess
my point is that we can actually find more voters in CD5 than they could find extra in CD6.
Right.
Because we have so many people that don't even bother.
Right.
Why? So how do we do it? Okay. So you're the precinct chair. You've got your team of eight and you've got data center and you've identified people. Now you can actually take and run a report and say, okay, here are the 400 or 500 people that vote Republican but don't vote very often. How do I get those 500 people to turn out?
Well, and then you have a whole list of things that they have to do. Door knock, letters, it's, calls.
It's simple. It's simple. It's even, it's so easy. It's shocking how easy it is. I have 8 people working for me, and I, let's just pick 400 because it's simple math. 400, I've identified 400 people that I think aren't going to vote this time, but I can make them do it. 8 people, 400, 50 people each. Okay, Bob, you're responsible for these 50 people, and I give you their list. And so you sit down and you call everybody. It may take you a while, but you've got several months. And you call them, and you go down the list, and like, hi, Mrs. Wilson, this is Bob. I worked with the Republican precinct. I see you vote every so often, but I was just wondering, are you planning on voting this year?
I'm going to come to your house and drag you from the...
You don't even have to do that, Bob. You don't have
you
to drag them.
You just ask them, right?
You actually, you could just... The main thing is to develop a personal relationship with them. So you don't have to call up and pester them. You just like call and say, hi, I'm with the precinct. Do you have any questions about the elections or what's going on? Just start a friendly conversation. That's one of the easy ways. There's many different directions, and I'm trying to do it quickly because I know we're out of time.
Right.
But you could, when it gets to the ask, you say, would you like an absentee ballot?
Oh, yeah.
And you can sign them up for an absentee ballot at any time today. If you wanted to vote absentee, you could go and get it today.
And then depending on how you want to do it in your precinct, you can have follow-up calls. You can do follow-up calls. You can do door knocks. You can help people.
Right.
You can give people rides to the polls if that's what you need to do, et cetera.
Percentage-wise, of those 50 people, 40 of them will take the absentee ballot. The other 10, then you got to get them to the polls. You can give them rides. Or since you have all this information, you can see that, oh, their neighbor Tony, who lives next door, and Tony's 34. You know that because it's in data center. And you can call Tony and go, hey, do you know Ms. Wilson up the street? She's a Republican. She could use a ride to the polls. Would you mind going with her? Or, hey, you know, Doug, your next door neighbor, he's kind of a curmudgeon and he doesn't feel like, you know, he's a Republican, so everybody hates him. Go say hi, introduce yourself and say, hey, you want to go vote with me on election day? You have a voting buddy. Now, when voting is a social thing, like I better vote or Mitch is going to get on my case or Doug's going to show up, because we agreed at 9 o'clock to go vote on Tuesday morning, you're more likely to go. Because in our neighborhood, when you know that the Democrats get 60% in your precinct, do you really want to go there? Because 60% of the people standing in line are communists. That's no fun. So, but if you're there with Doug, you can sit and complain about it the whole time, which is
right.
Totally awesome.
You've got a friend, a voting
buddy,
as you said.
You've got a friend in your voting buddy. So it's the vast majority are going to take the absentee ballot. And the rest of them, you can get someone to go with them and make it social. Make it fun.
This is why it is so important that when you go to meetings and there are 50, 60, or 80 people in a meeting and they want to hear a speech about how it's a biblical republic or the UN has taken over the world or whatever, and then those 50 people, as Jason Lewis likes to call it, meet, greet, and retreat. So they meet, they greet, they have a social experience, then they go home and they don't do anything else. If you can get 30 of those people to help their precinct chair, just in the way that we've talked about it. And by the way, I've seen this thing and it's a lot more detailed than the way that you're explaining it.
The class?
So the class, you'll come away knowing exactly what to do.
I've actually tried to figure, because I've got a PowerPoint I developed for it, and I'm thinking about splitting it into 2 classes. And I'm looking at other people to help me teach these because I want to have them available around all of CD5. And I'm going to probably require that you get permission from your BPO chair because I don't want to have people that aren't going to do anything or aren't precinct chairs.
Right.
Or committed.
You
want to
vet
it.
Some of the people.
I don't want to waste my time because I'm doing this for free.
I guess the point is, well, that's the key thing. A lot of people would charge for this. The key thing here is if just 30 of those people at the meeting with 60 people would actually do something like this, it could make a huge difference. And if you can do that, they're going to know what happened. They're going to go, oh my God, these people are actually getting out and doing some work instead of going, I need to have an argument for, don't argue with your communist neighbor. You're not going, you can't convince Lenin to vote Republican. Okay. It's not going to happen. Don't mess around with, you're wasting your energy and time doing that. Go to work.
Now, back a couple of years ago, before I got involved, I used to complain all the time. I was upset, frustrated, angry, listening to Glenn Beck, blah, 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 blah. And now this stuff doesn't bother me. I don't even look at Drudge Report anymore. I don't really care. Why? 2 things. 1, I get all the news I need to know from the Bob Davis podcast.
Well, that's very kind.
And two.
I'm sorry.
Right. And 2, because I'm doing all this work, I know I'm doing everything I possibly can. I'm not going to have any regrets.
So you don't have a lot of anxiety about politics because you're actually doing something. And this has been my contention all along, because you and I both started in the same BPOU. You know, I was the worst precinct chair in history.
Secretary.
And then I was the worst BPOU secretary.
Were you chair?
I was never the chair. I didn't want to be the chair. But the thing that I did do was I typed really good notes, because I can type 90 words a minute. So I was able to take real-time notes. And so wherever those notes are precision, you know, and that was my contribution. Everybody makes their own dumb contribution. That's the whole point of having 30 people, because not everybody's going to have to do all the work. And in most of your BPOUs, wherever you are, in most of your basic political units, wherever you are, if you're a Republican, the same six people have been doing all the work for the past 10 years. That's why they're so crotchety, because they never get any help. So if people show up and actually help and do this stuff and actually produce a higher turnout, that's going to be news.
Right. And take the class, read the stuff. Now, I actually have all this stuff on a web page. That's where I'm writing it, because I'm a web guy. It's easier for me to write on the web than to be doing a PowerPoint, which I have both.
Right, but
and I have the web address.
The
and
web
I'm not
is not
hand
public.
It out. But it's not public, because I would like you to come to the class first before you get the incredibly detailed, full of links version that's on the website.
And strategy. You have your own strategy, which I think is great.
Actually, let me take a quick swing over here to the iPad. That's why my head's away from the microphone. And I'm going to give you a web address, mngopcd5.org. Now, that is the website for the 5th Congressional District. And we probably could put that in the show notes, but it is MN, like Minnesota, GOP, like God's Only People, CD, is in Congressional District, 5.org. So hop over there and look under the tab Volunteer. Go there. Fill out the form there. And in the comment, say that you heard my show. I'm the one that gets these emails, because I'm the guy that runs the website.
And you want to have the class.
And say you want to take the class. And I will tell you, I will let you know when the classes start. Because we've got a couple of them. We've got a training session, a big one in January that I'll probably have it there. But I want to start doing it sooner. It's just a matter of me clearing time on my own schedule and finishing this stuff. But
yeah, and I think it's great. And I think, I don't need to repeat all the stuff that I've said, but this is the biggest problem in quote-unquote conservative politics, is everyone's angry and frustrated and they don't do anything. Mm-hmm. And then they wonder why these guys go to Washington and don't do what they say that they're going to do, because they don't care about you, because you don't do anything. Well, you know, if you want to, you got to be like Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson was always grabbing his crotch, right? That's politics. Ask yourself, who do you have by the short hairs? If you have no one by the short hairs, you ain't got no power, and you need power. And this is a thing Democrats understand. And by the way, this stuff works for libertarians, it works for independents, and it works for Democrats as well. This is nothing secret.
I got a lot of this from scrubbing the web and looking for stuff. And actually, on the webpage, there is an hour and a half long video that I've watched a number of times from a really great, thoughtful guy who put together a program for the Tea Party people, showing them how to organize for the Tea Party in their precinct.
Of course, they didn't do anything.
No. They all went to his class, and they all got their book on the Constitution and went hoorah, and away they went, because they didn't have the database. They don't have data center.
I see.
They're just going door knocking blind. The Democrat Party has tons of leaders. They have their own course. They've set themselves. The Republicans they're becoming better organized. But if you want to have an impact and change things, do it in the Republican Party. Yeah, there's a Constitution Party, there's a Libertarian Party. There's
well,
all
you
things.
Can pitch the Republican
and
Party.
And those are really great. Yeah, no. You don't have to. But those are really cute. But you're never going to get a thing, because none of them made the 5%.
If you're doing something that's not associated with a political party, you're not organizing. You're just wasting your time. You can go and you can have fun and you can learn something. I'm not saying that you won't, but this is what I'm talking about when I'm talking about getting organized in individual precincts to turn out the vote, because this is the only thing that is going to give you some leverage so that you can have some impact in politics. It can't be done by an individual. And it's a situation where you have to pick up the phone, you have to knock on the door, you have to do the work. And if you don't, then shut up. If you don't want to do the work, then shut up.
Right. It's sort of like you're sitting there creepily staring at the pretty girl that you see every day, and you never get up and ask her for her phone number. Get up and ask her for her phone number.
I'm too afraid to ask her for her phone number.
Right. Come on now. So, you know, trying to figure the right way. This is okay, develop a little courage and step up and get involved.
You can also send Mitch an email through the bobdavispodcast.com. At the very top of the page, it talks about who did the web work, and there's a link to your Facebook page, I think.
It's a link to my website.
Your website.
Mitchster.com.
And you just go to find contact and you're on your way. So that is, or you can send it to me and I'll just forward it to him. So
anyhow, send an email. I want to get involved with the precinct program, or I want to come to the class and I'll get you it. I wish I could announce a few classes, but Bob's been on me to have
I want to do this now this is the time to do it. Don't wait until next year. This is the time to start working on this stuff because actually the caucuses are going to happen. You may as well figure between Christmas and New Year's and Super Bowl, the Saturnalia, which will now take place for the next, 8 weeks. The opportunity to build this is right now. Don't wait until after the Super Bowl to start working on this because you won't get it done.
Oh, and you're going to have a lot of fun. You're going to meet a lot of cool people in the process.
That's true. It is fun. And my best, I know you from that. Look how that worked out.
We were both chairs of 61. It was 60 under your
privilege. No, you weren't. I was never chair.
I mean, secretary.
Secretary.
You were secretary. I was secretary.
You actually did some secretarial work. I didn't do anything.
I built a website.
I'm a perfect example of what not to do. All right. Thanks to the digital sponsor, the BobDavisPodcast.com, all of these months, and I love it, Alpha Systems. If you're a pilot and Mitch, I was.
I am a not up-to-date pilot.
If you're a pilot and you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings, this is so important because Alpha Systems makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. And the bottom line is Alpha Systems AOA saves lives. Why? Because pilots like to say that they can sort of feel it when they're adding power as they come in for landing. But this thing enables you to know that you're in the range where the wing has lift.
I looked at all this stuff while I was developing the little banner for the website, I wish I had that when I was learning to fly.
Yeah,
because it is such, there's so many things you have to pay attention to when you're landing, and a couple of them determine whether or not you fall out of the sky and die.
There you go.
And the AOA provides that very simply and visually, right?
And commercial pilots know this because they've had it. But I just got a blog from the guy at Alpha System that talked about commercial pilots who lost friends who thought they had it under control, and their biggest problem was not reducing power as they turned into the runway, but adding too much power. So it's one or the other.
Yeah, because you're up and down, and power. There's so many things you have to balance just right. And it's nice to have a visual indication.
They want it in your avionics package. It'll help you. Click on Alpha Systems for more information on the top of the BobDavisPodcast.com page. Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator. It's FAA approved. And thanks, guys, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast digital side. Thanks again to xgovernmenttrucks.com, now open at 356 19th Street in Forest Lake. You can call them at 763-777-8782. Get out to xgovernmenttrucks.com today, 356 19th Street, Forest Lake.
xgovernmenttrucks.com.
Now, it may not feel like winter right now in Minneapolis and St. Paul, but it will be eventually, and you're going to have or could have plumbing problems, residential and business, when it starts to get cold. For emergency service, don't forget Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul for four generations. 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis. Call 612-927-6488. Metro-wide from St. Paul, that means the suburbs too, for four generations. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems. Ryan Plumbing and Heating. And thanks to you guys for listening on Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn. What is it? Google Play Music now? We just put that up, right?
Is it working yet?
I don't know. Blog Talk Radio.
It's all there.
BlogTalkRadio.com. And don't forget the new live radio show, which I'll tell you more about. It is available at GCNLive.com. And thanks for liking, sharing, and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter. And thanks for your donations at the BobDavisPodcast.com. It was the Seagulls, not the Sings. It was the Seagulls that donated $100. My friend John Holland donated $200. We're getting ready for operations starting right at the end of January. Going to be covering the Iowa caucuses, and then we're heading into the Mid-South, down to South Carolina, which is going to be a very important primary, and then on down to Georgia and Florida. All those states are instrumental in election 2016. So that's what I'm collecting donations for now. All that money goes into diesel fuel, Komodo Dragon coffee, and beef jerky. So there you go. And thanks for listening to podcast 443. I hope it helps you organize.